Start your day the Torah way, Northwest London, Thursday, 13th of Nissan, 14th of April, Rabbi Yossi Cohen Shlita. I got the insight. This is sponsored by family Berkovitz. In Nishmas, Rav Avraham Dov and Rav Moshe Dov, Zichron Lebracha, the late dying Beryl Berkovitz. Zichron Lebracha, whose yard site was last week on 6th of Nissan.
It's always a pleasure to be here once again, and especially just reflecting a moment on Erev Pesach, the last 2 years, especially 2 years ago. It's a simcha and something I guess we have to feel a tremendous hakaras hatov for, that Baruch Hashem, we look forward to spending same night with our families, not as sometimes individuals or people who can't join their families due to the coronavirus. And it's very quick to forget. I actually once saw in a sefer, I don't recall where, that on Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the very first night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael was still in Mitzrayim, so they brought the Korban Pesach and they ate the Korban Pesach and they were literally about to leave. And we're told in the Torah they ate matzah, they ate the Korban Pesach, and they also ate mara. The question being, mara, I need the reminder of Vayimara with Chayehem as I'm still there in Mitzrayim. We've just been through 210 years of misery. But again, I don't recall where I saw this, but the idea being, that's how long it takes to forget. The Torah reminds you that even though we are in Mitzrayim still, but we're on the way out, so our minds are already hopefully elsewhere. The Torah told them to eat mara. They were told to eat mara already then, because a person can forget as quickly as that.
To eat mara was a Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim.
Right, yes. Yeah, Pasuk says. They ate it together with mara. The question is, mara, do they need a reminder then for the mara? They've just been experiencing being through it for 210 years. But that is how long it can take for a person to forget. The Torah is reminding you that if you don't solidify messages, if you don't somehow or other do something to remember what happened, then it can very quickly disappear into the past. So, as I say, I'm starting with the expression, I guess, of Hakaras HaToiv. Baruch Hashem, it looks like this particular Erev Pesach, Mitzvah Hashem, we should be in a much better place. Okay, I'd like to share an idea here, and then whatever time we have to try and add some quick ideas and to be Torah for the Leil HaSeder. One very important point I'd like to make is, again, a central theme on Leil HaSeder, but I want to base it on the words of the B'nai Yisroel. At first glance, this will appear that this has nothing to do with Leil HaSeder, but as we'll see, the B'nai Yisroel says a very beautiful idea, which is a central theme in what we hope to be doing tomorrow night with Hashem. In Sefer Shoftim, Perek Aleph, the Sukkim there discuss the territorial conquest of conquering Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua is no longer alive, the Shoftim era begins, and there were a certain amount of towns that were not yet conquered in Yeshua's time, and now they need to be conquered. They asked the Urim Batumim who should go first and conquer the remaining territory. The Urim Batumim announced and answered, Yehuda Yale. Yehuda should go first. Malchus, he's the Melech. He should first go and conquer his land. Then Shoftim Aleph Perik Aleph Pasuk Gimel reads as follows: Vayomer Yehuda leShimon Achiv. And Yehuda, that's Shevet Yehuda, now says to Shimon his brother, Shevet Shimon, Alei Iti v'Goyroli, come up together with me to conquer my lot. V'Nilcham Abaknani, we fight against the Knani. And then Vahalachti Gamani Itcha B'Geirolecha, I will then go with you to conquer your lot. Vayelech Itoy Shimon. And Shimon went with him. So, even though the Urim V'Tumim said that Yehuda should go first and conquer his lot, it seems he found it appropriate to invite his brother Shevet Shimon to come up together with him. Alei Iti B'Geiroli, come together with me to conquer my lot. We'll fight against the Knani. And then I will go together with you and help you conquer yours. And all the Mefarshim ask here, what is going on here? The Urim Tumim very clearly told Yehuda, you go first. And not only you go first, but it's quite clear, you go first and you will be Matzliach. Hinei nosati esa'aretz biyodei, even in the past tense, it's a done deal. You will be successful. So if he's going to be successful, why is he inviting anybody? Question number one. And if anybody, why Shevet Shimon? So there are three answers to this question, and Be'ez Hashem will try and combine all these three and see that they all actually complement one another. And then we'll see what it has to do with Leil HaSeder. The Malbim simply says that the reason why Yehuda invited Shimon, why Shevet Yehuda invited Shevet Shimon, is because practically it made sense to him. Their territory was adjacent to one another, they had overlapping adjacent territory, and it simply made sense to Yehuda. If he already is conquering his lot, he might as well take his next door neighbor, Shimon, who also has territory next to or within his boundaries, next to overlapping one another. So it just made sense to him, if I'm doing it already, I might as well invite my next door neighbor, Shimon. So the Malbim says, it just made sense militarily, practically, he invited Shimon. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh asks the same question, why is Yehuda inviting Shimon? The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that Yehuda invited Shimon because he felt sorry for him. Again, I repeat, we're talking about Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Shimon, although it's rather interesting. Vayomer Yehuda leShimon sounds as if Yehuda and Shimon are talking to each other. Yeah. Yehuda and Shimon are long dead at this point. But Shevet Yehuda is, so to speak, speaking to Shevet Shimon. Says that Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, he felt sorry for Shimon. Shevet Yehuda felt sorry for Shimon, and he was practicing here brotherly love. Ahavas Chinam. And the reason he felt sorry for Shimon is because when the Urim Tumim was consulted who should go first, it basically skipped over Shimon. It went straight to Yehuda, who's the fourth Shevet, and said, Yehuda Yale, Yehuda should conquer the land. And this Shimon must have felt hurt about, because he was skipped over. And often, when a person has some sort of painful or traumatic experience, anything can trigger a memory to that. And Shevet Shimon, we know in the Chumash, after the whole story with Cosby and Zimri, the story of Benoit Smoyov, Shevet Shimon was not given a bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in Mezos HaBracha, you will see that Moshe Rabbeinu gave every single Shevet a bracha besides Shevet Shimon. Can you imagine? We can't imagine how painful that must have been to have been skipped over and not given a bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu. And now, in a certain way, again, Shimon has been skipped over. And he is not the one who's chosen to go first. And Yehuda, this is a chilik of his Midas HaMalchus, he notices the pain of his brother Shimon. And he therefore invites Shimon, not only invites Shimon, but gives Shimon a feeling as if he needs him. When really he doesn't, because he was guaranteed success by the Urim Tumim. Says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, Vayomer Yehuda leShimon Achiv. Why stress the word Achiv? We know they're brothers. But what's happening here is, Yehuda is displaying brotherly love. Ahavas Chinam. So Yehuda invites Shimon, his brother, and he invites him in a way that he makes Shimon feel that Yehuda needs him. Vayomer Yehuda leShimon Achiv, Ale iti v'goyroli, come up together with me to my lot. V'nilcham al baknani. But says the Al-Sheikh, it can also be understood, Ale iti, not just physically come up with me, but Ale iti, it will be an aliyah for me. It will be an uplifting, an elevating, honorable experience for you to come and join me. I'll be deeply honored if you will come with me. It will be an aliyah for me, says Yehuda to Shimon. Although, once again, he didn't really need him, but he made him feel as if he did. And in his humility, he ends off and says, and then afterwards, V'halachti gamani itcho begerolecho. I will then go with you. He doesn't use the word aliyah there, because you don't need me, but I will keep my side of the deal and I will then join you. So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that what's actually happening here is a demonstration of brotherly love, brotherly care. And again, Yehuda doesn't need him, but he displays Avas Chilom, he displays brotherhood, and invites Shimon in a way that he makes Shimon feel important, even though he had sinned, but he makes him now feel important and needed, and he brings him together with him and invites him in a way that he makes him feel helpful and good. Mm-hmm. So the Malbim again learns that the territorial conquest is simply for practical reasons being done by inviting Shimon, and the Al-Shar HaKadosh learns that he's doing it to invite him because he feels sorry for him. Yes?
What about Reuven?
Sorry?
What about Reuven?
Good question. Reuven doesn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. He's Neva Yadin, so he's not in the equation. Next would be Shimon. Levi also has Ari Halavim. So it's basically in line, if we would be going in line, it would have been Shimon next. Now the Bnei Yisachar explains all this on a very allegorical level, but beautiful idea. And the Bnei Yisachar learns this whole pasuk, as they say, allegorically. Just as a quick word of introduction, the Torah in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, when he discusses the Chodshei Hashanah, the Torah lays down a principle which is the springboard to an enormous amount of writings in the different Sfarim, whether it's from the Sfarim himself or in Tzadok HaKoyen and the others. He basically writes that we know there are three regalim which correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram keneged Pesach, Yitzchak keneged Shavuos, Yaakov keneged Sukkos, Yaakov nasa Sukkosach, which itself, that statement itself, is a springboard to an enormous amount of machshava. And then he goes on and makes his next statement, that by no coincidence there are 12 months in the Jewish calendar, and there are 12 Shvatim. Meaning, every single Shevet corresponds to a specific Chodesh, and this connection is not just a nice idea, it's something we can grow with on a monthly basis. In other words, each Shevet shines, so to speak, its characteristics and lights on the specific Chodesh, and every one of the Shvatim is relevant to us, because at the end of the day, everything they have all comes from the tree trunk, i.e. their father Yaakov Avinu. And those qualities and characteristics that every Shevet has branch out to each and every Shevet, and every month they can be connected to in one way or another. Again, this is a big idea with a lot to say about it, but that's basically the idea. As Sforim points out, by no coincidence, the word for a tribe is either a Shevet or a Mate, which by no coincidence are the same Hebrew words for a stick. A Shevet is a stick, a Mate is a stick, and by definition, every stick is a branch. That's what a stick is. In other words, every Shevet is a branch off the tree trunk, i.e., so to speak, Yaakov Avinu. And every month, there's a concentrated middah, or concentrated number of characteristics that Shevet's all about, and it shines on this particular month. There's a big discussion how to work out the sequence of which Shevet corresponds to which month. Many Kadmoinim learn that it goes according to the way they travelled in the Midbar. So, for example, the sixth month, Elul, corresponds to Shevet God, because the sixth tribe to travel in the Midbar was God. So, if you want to understand what God is all about, Gimel Dalet, what God is all about, then you need to understand its connection to Chodesh El. Or you want to understand what Adar is all about, to get the full picture, you would have to have an understanding in its connection to Naphtali, who was the last tribe to actually travel, etc. So again, this is a big statement, which has an enormous amount of machshava written about it. It's a tremendous idea. And again, it's not just a nice idea, it's something which we can actually link to if we live our months correctly. Because, once again, although I don't necessarily come from Naphtali, but everything Naphtali has comes from Yaakov. And therefore we all are connected to the tree trunk in one way or another. Be that as it may, says the Bnei Yisachar, on an allegorical level, this particular pasuk is not just referring to Yehuda, the person, the tribe, and Shimon, the tribe. It's referring to the totality of each one of those tribes. Again, it's interesting to note that it doesn't say that a Nasi from Yehuda spoke to a Nasi of Shimon. It says, by Yoyme Yehuda to Shimon. Even Al Pipshat, the Bnei Soscha, the way he's now going to explain that this is not only referring to the people, it's referring to the month, it makes sense. Because how does Yehuda talk to Shimon? Who's talking to who here? Who's Yehuda talking to Shimon? The first, Yehuda has long gone. The totality of Yehuda seems to be talking to the totality here of Shimon. And the Bnei Soscha writes as follows. He says that here in our pasuk, on an allegorical level, Yehuda is not just referring to the tribe of Yehuda, it's referring again to the totality of Yehuda, and Yehuda being the first tribe that travelled in the Midbar corresponds to Chodesh Nisan. And Shimon, when you look in the Chumash, was the fifth tribe to travel. He therefore corresponds to Chodesh Av. So on a deeper level, Vayomer Yehuda the Shimon Achiv is saying that Nisan is, so to speak, speaking to Av. And we know that Nisan is the month of Geula, is the month of Nisim. In fact, Nisan and Nisim have the same gematria, the Rishonim point out. It's a month of miracles, a month of salvation, a wonderful month for Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, Shimon's month, Av, is the most tragic month. It is a month of curses. The amount of flawless and tragedies that have happened throughout Jewish history in Chodesh Av is shocking. However, Chazal tell us that the day will come that when Mashiach comes, that Chodesh Av, or specifically Tisha B'Av, will switch to become the greatest Yom Tov of them all, even more than Pesach itself. So says the Bnei Sosa on the allegorical level. Vayoyme Yehuda l'Shimon Achiv. If the question is, why is Yehuda inviting Shimon? Says the Bnei Soscha, because Yehuda and Shimon are deeply connected. Nisan and Av are deeply connected. Nisan, for the time being, is the main month of our Geula, Pesach. And Av is, for the time being, the main month of tragedy and Chorban, but eventually will become the Yom Tov Tisha B'Av of the ultimate Geula, even more primary importance than Pesach itself. So, Vayomer Yehuda l'Shimon Achiv. Yehuda says to Shimon, his brother, or on a deeper level, Nisan now says to Av, Alei iti v'goroli. Here, at the beginning of Jewish history, basically, it's Sefer Shoftim, the whole of Sefer Yeshua is 28 years of Jewish history, you're already in the beginning of, this is literally the beginning of the journey. We're now starting our journey here in Eretz Yisrael, a long journey. So the beginning here, Yehuda / Nisan is speaking to Shimon / Av and inviting him and making a partnership here that's going to last throughout the long journey of Golas till Geula. Yehuda, Nisan says to Shimon, Av, Alei iti v'goroli, come together with me to my lot. If I say, come with me, then by definition, I'm the main one and you are my sidekick coming with me. I'm of primary importance, and you are of secondary importance. So Yehuda is saying, I, Yehuda, I, so to speak, Nisan, am the main one for the time being, and I'm inviting you, Shimon, not because of what you are, but because of what you will eventually become. Because in your month, i.e. Tisha B'Av, one day, things are going to change. So I'm inviting you to come with me. V'nilchama b'Kanani. And we will then go and fight against the Kanani, which again, symbolically, would be the long milchama of Jewish history that awaits us. There's a long battle ahead. Come together with me, join me, I'm of primary importance, you are of secondary importance, and we'll go through the battle and the journey. But I promise you, says Yehuda to Shimon, I promise you, says Nisan to Av, this is not where it ends. The pasuk continues and says, the day will come, V'holachti gam ani itcha b'gerolecha. The day will come that I will go with you to your lot. I, Nisan, am awaiting the day that I can step back and allow you to have center stage. And you, Shimon, you, Av, Tisha B'Av, will become the main one. And then it will be defined that I am going with you. You'll be of primary importance. I'll be of secondary importance. V'yelech itay Shimon, and Shimon went together with him. Says the Bnei Yisrael, the reason why Yehuda is inviting Shimon is because they are deeply connected, and their journeys are deeply connected. And in both of them corresponding months lies the Geula. Yehuda has the Geula of Pesach, and Shimon, eventually his month will contain in it the ultimate Geula, the Geula HaSida of the days of Mashiach. Now, when we look at all these three different explanations, the Malbim, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, and the Bnei Sascha, we can actually put them together and deduce something very interesting. But just beforehand, the Bnei Sascha continues and says that this is the reason, or one of the reasons, why we eat an egg on Leil HaSeder. We eat an egg on Leil HaSeder because Tisha B'Av and Pesach always land on the same day of the week. Adbash, right. And the idea being that when we sit on Leil HaSeder and eat the egg, we should remind ourselves about the date when we eat an egg, i.e. Tisha B'Av, and remind ourselves that the cycle will be that for the time being, what I'm doing tonight is the main thing, Leil HaSeder, it's yes, it's right. But the day will come that the Yom Tov that will land on the same day of the week as today, i.e. Tisha B'Av, will turn around and become the main Yom Tov of the year. The Sforim point out that Av is Aleph Beis. Aleph is the first letter of Or, Beis is the first letter of Baruch, and for the time being, this month has been Or, but eventually Beis, it will switch to be Baruch, and all the Baruch will be apparent. You read the whole word together, it reads Av, our Father in heaven. We will eventually understand how all this was leading to the ultimate bracha. So we eat the egg to remind us that what we're doing tonight is the main thing, but the day will come that that cycle will switch and the main date of our Geula will be what will happen on the same day of the week, i.e. on Tisha B'Av. So we pull these three ideas together, we can see that they actually complement one another. The Malbim learns that the reason why Yehud invited Shimon is because it made sense. They had adjacent territory. They were next to each other, overlapping, intertwined, whatever it was. The territory was adjacent, intertwined. And therefore, it made sense to Shevet Yehuda to invite Shimon to do this together. But the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put those two tribes next to each other? There's no coincidence in where HaKadosh Baruch Hu positioned Klal Yisrael when he was Mechalek Eretz Yisrael. Every tribe belonged in a specific connected place, and there's a reason for it. There's a connection between why Binyamin has a chelik of Yerushalayim. There's a reason for all these things. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put these two tribes together, hugging territory in such a fashion? That's the Malbim. Let's move over now to the Bnei Sascha, that we've seen that connection, the connection being that they are very connected. The reason why those two territories are overlapping and adjacent because their missions and their journeys are very intertwined. Because in both of these corresponding months lies the Geula. One, the Geula of Mitzrayim, and one, the future Geula. So the Malbim very much is complemented by what the Bnei Sascha says, that the two tribes are very, very connected. Now the question is, what needs to happen to make that great metamorphosis, the switch around of what Yehuda says to Shimon, that we're all awaiting, that v'holachti gamani etcha begeralecha. What needs to happen that once and for all this whole thing should turn around? And so to speak, Yehuda will step back and Shevet Shimon, Av, will be of primary importance. That's what the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh has come to tell us. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh who tells us that the reason why Yehuda invited Shimon was because of Avas Chinon, that he cared so much about him, he didn't really need him, but he did it because he cared for him. He worried about him, he worried about his feelings, he penetrated his inner emotions. And Yehuda invites Shimon, Achiv, displaying brotherly love. And by doing so, he made him feel good, he used his mouth for encouragement and for building someone and for displaying the Avas Chinam. So that's what needs to happen. We're now in Golos for close to 2,000 years, and the sins, as we know, are Sinas Chinom and Lashon Hara. And Yehuda, who, again, is what Malchus is all about, and from him, ultimately, Mashiach is going to come. The way the Al-Sheikh learns that Yehuda is inviting Shimon because of Ahavas Chinam, there lies the key to make that great change around, the metamorphosis of V'holachti Gamani Etcha, that I will now step back and let you go forward. That care, that worrying for someone, is what's going to make it all happen. As the Maisa Hashem writes, that the two dippings of Leil HaSeder, the first dipping is at the beginning of the evening, by Karpas, and the other dipping is all the way at the end of the evening. Says the Maisa Hashem, the two dippings remind us of how we ended up in Mitzrayim in the first place. How we came in and how we came out. We went down to Mitzrayim because of a dipping with the Ksenus Pasim of Yosef. And that, even though obviously they were on a tremendous madrega, but that was a lack of achdus from their part, the brothers. That's what caused us to go down to Mitzrayim. And we only eventually left Mitzrayim when we dipped the Agudas Ezev, the bunch of hyssop, into the blood, which again is symbolic of the Aguda concept, the unity. So only when we rectified the original reason of why we went in, did we eventually go out. So on Leil HaSeder, once again, we dipped twice, once at the beginning, once at the end, to remind us that, again, Pesach and Tisha B'Av land on the same day of the week. And the whole reason we are in this long golas is because of the Eivor Ra, because of the Sinas Chinam, etc. The Rekeach, a very early Rishon, is Medayik, he says, very early Rishon. He writes that the first Pasuk in Eicha, Eicha Yoshva Vodod, Ha'ir Rabasi Om Hoysok Ka'almona, is Rashi Tevis, Eva Ra. Eicha Yoshva Vodod, Ha'ir is Eva, hatred. Rabasi Om Hoysok is Rashi Tevis Ra. You want to know why we're in Golas for Ka'almona for so many thousands of years? It's because of Eva Ra, because of the Sinas Chinuch. And Yehuda's reason, according to the Al Shachadosh, for inviting Shimon, that care, that concern, is what will bring the great turnabout around. So once again, we dip twice, once at the beginning, once at the end, to internalize that message, that if we do, then we won't be sitting on the floor this Tisha B'Av, we'll hopefully be dancing in the streets of Yerushalayim. The Ostros Rebbe once asked, how come we were supposed to be in Golas Mitzrayim for 400 years, and we only were there for 210 years? What happened? What exactly happened that 190 years were suddenly knocked off? There's a different ideas here, but this is his question. What happened? It says 400 years, and eventually it didn't happen in such a fashion of intense golas for 400 years. He says that the gezeirah was that there should be 400 years of golas, for whatever the reason was. And that would have been spread out in a certain fashion, a certain amount of suffering, whatever, for each person at each moment, for whichever reason it was. But what actually happened was, Klal Yisrael intensified their own suffering by incorporating somebody else's pain in their own baggage. In other words, let's say a person was supposed to have this amount, this sheer of suffering, for whatever reason it was. They went then and made themselves suffer more because I'm now also feeling your pain. I'm concerning myself with you as well. That was never part of the Gezeirah. That's something we took upon ourselves. It wasn't decreed. But when one person takes upon themselves someone else's pain, someone else's anguish, whatever it might be, and all of a sudden you're now suffering more than was Nigzar, so the dates will be less as a result of that. The amount of time will be in the goddess will be less as a result of that. So this whole concept of caring for the other person, kol dichbin, and all this is something which is so much a central theme of making that great turnabout occur. The using the mouth like Yehuda did, we know in goddess because of Lashon Hara, and because of Sinas Chinam, Yehuda in this pasuk uses his mouth to build someone, to give someone a good feeling, to give someone a feeling of importance, to incorporate someone, even though that person sinned. We need to bring them in and give them a feeling of hope, and give them a feeling of importance. Even the Ben Rosha, says the Tzaddik HaKoyim, even the Ben Rosha is coming home as well. Even though it says in Haggadah, Ilu Hayasham Lo Hayar Nigal, says the Tzaddik HaKoyim, yeah, Ilu Hayasham Lo Hayar Nigal. But he's not Sham, he's after Matan Terah. And the Ben Rosh is also going to come home eventually. And we need to use whatever we can with our mouths, and the way we speak to people, and the way we try and bring people in and encourage them and bring the Avas Chinam in all different ways. And that is, Emet Hashem, what will create the great metamorphosis and the great turnabout that we eventually will experience. And I conclude with the words of an old Polish Jew who met his friend on Erev Chanukah, and he said, you should have a Lichtige Chanukah, and a Freilich and Purim, and a Kosher and Pesach, and the Milchige Shavuos. The main thing is, we should all be Zeuch Emet Hashem to a Fleishige Tishabov.